Welcome to the Achievable FINRA podcast. I'm Tyler, the founder of Achievable, and we have affordable courses for the FINRA SIE, Series 6, Series 7, 63, 65, and 66 exams with industry best pass rates. Each Achievable course includes everything you need to pass the first time. A full textbook, videos on key topics, thousands of questions backed by our memory-enhancing algorithm, and full-length practice exams. You can try it out for free at achievable.me, and if you like it, use the code PODCAST to get you 10% off at checkout. This podcast was made from a video by Achievable's FINRA course author, Brandon Rith. If you'd like to have the visual aid of a video, please go to Achievable's YouTube channel and search for the video by the same name.
Stop orders are one of the four primary order types that you need to know for the exam. And these are a bit confusing. To the untrained eye, the way these orders work seem backwards, and oftentimes the result of placing them feels a little bit different than what you would expect. But we're gonna talk about it in this video, go through the characteristics, the mechanics, and why people use these orders so that you can consistently get them right on the exam. First, let's talk about the main reason why most investors use stop orders. Most investors use them as a way to insure themselves against future losses. Oftentimes we use the word hedge with this, which just means to protect. To better understand this, let's first start with a stock position, and that's really what we would be protecting with a stop order. Some type of security, typically a stock position. In particular, we need to focus on a short stock position. A short stock position involves an investor borrowing stock from their broker-dealer, selling it, and then hoping to buy it back later at a lower price. So it's kind of a bizarre order where there's a sell that comes first and the buy that comes second. And just like we always focus on in finance, we wanna buy low, sell high. If the sell comes first, we wanna buy back at a lower price later. Let's say an investor has a short position at 40. Now, the good to a short position is if the market price falls. If you sell short stock at 40 and then the market price, say, goes all the way down to zero, you can go back to the market, buy back this worthless stock for nothing, and then give the shares back to your broker dealer, lock in a $40 per share profit, and feel pretty good about the investment and the bet that you made there. When we talk about protection or a hedge, we're not talking about the good stuff. We're talking about protecting ourselves from the bad stuff. A short stock position has unlimited risk potential because the market can rise an unlimited amount. If you sell short stock at 40, the market price could go to 100, 150, 200, 300, 1,000, 1 million. There's no ceiling to how high the market could go. And the higher that market price gets, the more expensive it is for you to buy back that stock, which you have to do at some point. So let's keep that in mind. A short stock position is at risk when the market price rises. With our short stock position at 40, we might place a buy stop order, say at 45. This type of order tells the system if the market price gets to 45 or above, buy back the stock and get me out of this position. With a short stock position, buying back the stock closes the position. So let's think about the big picture here. The investor short stock at 40, they place a buy stop at 45, and that gives them some flexibility. If the market price were to fluctuate a little bit above 40, as long as it doesn't go to 45 or above, great, their position's still in place, they can still make money on it in the future. If the market price falls, they make money and eventually they might buy back the stock at a lower price. But there's this line in the sand at 45. If the market price hits 45 or above, the stop order will start going through a process where it will be executed and eventually buy back that stock, get the investor out of the situation, and prevent them from losing more money. This would be a really valuable order to have in place, especially if the market price were to rise, say from 40 and go slowly up to 100. If we have a buy stop at 45, that's stopping our losses once the market price hits to 45 or above. And at that point, we can walk away with a smaller loss than we might otherwise have had to incur. I used the phrase stop loss before. A lot of people call stop orders that are used in this manner as a stop loss type of order. They're stopping their losses if the order is executed. That's one of the most important things to know about stop orders, is that they are primarily used as a protection or a hedging mechanism, usually with a stock position. Now, the second thing we'll go to is the guarantees. Now, a stop order doesn't really guarantee anything on its face. Looking back at the example that we discussed, if the market price doesn't go to 45 or above, the order is not executed. So there is no execution guarantee with a stop order. Now, secondly, even though there's a price specified in the order, there's also not a price guarantee. Stop orders always involve a two-step process where first it will either trigger. You might also see the word elect or elected. Same thing as triggered, but the order triggers first. And once it does, it then becomes a market order second. So in our example here, when the market price hits 45 or above, the order triggers and then becomes a market order, which executes at whatever the next available price is. Now, the market could get up to 45 and then come back down. And in that case, we had to wait for the market price to hit 45 or above for it to trigger, but it's going to be executed at whatever the next available price is after that. And that could be above 45, it could be at 45, it could be below 45. And because it ultimately becomes a market order, we can't say that there's a price guarantee either. The only thing we might be able to say here is that once the order triggers, there is an execution guarantee because market orders guarantee execution. But going back to the very beginning, if we're just looking at an untriggered stop order, there's no execution guarantee and there's no price guarantee. So a lot of times, I think the best way to look at it is there are no guarantees with this type of order until it is triggered. Once it's triggered, you do have an execution guarantee because it's effectively a market order. Next thing to talk about is the time frame. Stop orders, just like limit orders, can either be day or good till canceled. We call those GTC orders. Those are the two time frames that we generally will associate with this type of order. A day order will cancel by the end of the day if it's not executed, whereas a GTC order will stay in the system until it is either executed or canceled by the investor, whichever happens first. And this could take place over several days, several weeks, or even months. The last important thing to talk about is our favorite acronym with order types, slobs over bliss. This becomes really helpful with stop orders, given that there's not a lot of intuition with how these work, and they seem a little backwards at first. So back to our original order, we have a buy stop at 45. Now we could think through the whole protection aspect, the fact that it feels a little backwards to us, or we could just simply use slobs over bliss. BS is above the line. So that tells us for something to happen with this order, we need the market price to hit the price specified, in this case here, 45 or above. And once it gets to that point, the order will trigger and then it executes at whatever the next available price is after that. Now that we've covered the important parts of stop orders, let's put a practice question in front of us and let's see if we can get this question right based upon the knowledge that we now have. If you want to, go ahead and pause the video, see if you can do it on your own. And once you hit play, we will break it down together. All right. We have an investor that places an order. They say, buy 100 shares of XYZ stock at 55 stop. And below that, we're given a bunch of market prices the stock is available at. And the question is, what statement is true? And there's a bunch of execution language, trigger language at the very bottom. So let's go ahead and break this down together and make sure we feel really comfortable with buy stop orders. Obviously, we have a buy stop in front of us. It's right in the order. We don't even need to guess. And we'll go back to our friend, Slobs Over Bliss. Again, BS is above the line. That stands for buy stop. So that tells us we're looking for the market price to get to 55 or above for the order to initially trigger. When we look at the market prices provided at the bottom of the question, we need to read it from left to right and think about these basically like they're given to us in a chronological order at the time. And we just need to remember we're looking for 55 or above for the order to trigger. 54, that is not 55 or above. Neither is 53, neither is 52, but 55 is 55 or above. Doesn't have to be above 55, just has to be at the price specified or above. Keyword there being or. With that being said, the order will trigger at 55. Now it doesn't execute here, doesn't go through immediately. We always have to remember there's a two-step process with stop orders. So first it triggers at 55 and then it becomes a market order and goes through at the next available price. Now the next available price is 54. Now with slobs over bliss, you might be thinking, BS. That's above the line. How does the order execute at 54? Remember what the stop order, all we're using slobs and bliss for is to tell us when the order triggers. It triggers at 55 or above. That next price could be 54, it could be 40, it could be 10, it could be 5 million, whatever the next price is, that is where the order will execute. And in this case, it's 54. And that will reflect the correct answer. The order here triggers at 55 and executes at 54.